Tonight we're in chapter 6, and it's the famous story of Daniel in the lion's den. A story that every child in Sunday school learns and knows. My son, Nathan, plays this story all the time. Now we have a little thing we call say, play, and pray. I have found out that not all people learn the same. And some people you can tell a story to, and they'll listen with avid interest. Other people like to find out on their own, their self-discipline. Other people need to see it. Nathan's one of those characters. He needs to visually see the story. And so we read the story, and then we dress up in the characters like the story, and we reenact the entire event, and then we'll pray about any lessons that God would bring out in that time that we played it. And one of his favorite stories is Daniel in the lion's den. Of course, everybody knows this story. They learned it since they were in Sunday school. But unfortunately, people grow up seeing this among the stories of fiction because they remember that being this innocent little story they heard in their Sunday school days. Now as an adult, they think, I really can't believe that God miraculously saved Daniel out of the mouth of the lions. Just like I can't believe that God really had a huge fish swallow a man in the book of Jonah, or that God parted the waters of the Red Sea. And it's unfortunate that God, to some of these people, becomes so distant and so inept and lacks power because God isn't personally working in their lives. They discount the power of God altogether. And they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. In reality, the question is, how big is your God? Now, I love the way the early church prayed in Acts chapter 4. They had a problem that they were going through, and they simply prayed, Lord, you created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything that is in them. There's nothing too hard for you. Based on your power and your greatness, we have a little trial we'd like to bring before you. But that's not a big deal for you. You created the heavens and the earth. But in recognizing the power of God and that nothing's too hard for God, this story should not surprise us or make us draw back from it. If you can believe the first verse in the Bible, the rest will be pretty easy. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, if you have a problem with that one, you'll have a problem with the rest of it. But if you can swallow that one, you can swallow the rest, even the story of Jonah and the whale. It says in verse 1 that it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes. These were, as it says, satraps or official delegates, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these were three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first. Now, Daniel is not a kid at this point. He's about 80 to 90 years old. And he's going to have the experience as an 80 or 90-year-old man to go into a lion's den. Now, for most people that age, they'd have a heart attack. It didn't bother Daniel. You're going to see a steadfastness of spirit and heart. It didn't seem to bother Daniel. It bothered Darius, the one who was set over all of the kingdom under Cyrus, but it doesn't bother Daniel. Think of it in these terms. Daniel spent only one night in a lion's den, but he spent years, over 70 years, probably up to 75 years, in the courts of pagan kings. Which is more dangerous? Actually, it's much more dangerous to be in the company of unbelievers when everyone around you is an unbeliever and you are the only one, you and a few other guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, following the God of Israel, the true God. When you're overshadowed by paganism, when you have the temptations to succumb to compromise, it's much harder to make a stand for Jesus in a situation like that than it is to face the lions for one evening. I'm sure that's how Daniel viewed it. As we go through the story, we'll see his steadfastness of faith. It's important as we get into this that we recognize something that we often overlook. And that is, how did Daniel in the first place get into the lion's den? Was it because he did something wrong? No, it's because he did something right. Because he was faithful to God, he got himself into this mess. It wasn't prayer that got him out of the lion's den as much as prayer that got him in the lion's den. It's because he was worshiping the true God that all of these things happened against him. Now, that's an important principle. Because as Christians, we often mistakenly think that if I am a believer, I am therefore immune from the thorns of life. That somehow life ought to be fair. And we're puzzled when it's not fair. Back in Psalm 59, you can turn to it if you wish. If not, I'll read it to you. It's an experience of David. And David is writing Psalm 59 after being pestered by Saul. After Saul was chasing him, trying to kill him, David had done nothing wrong. He'd done everything right. And this is his prayer to the Lord. He's crying out to God. He says, deliver me, Psalm 59, from my enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloody men. For they lie in wait for my soul, the mighty gather against me. Notice, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me. Now here's David. He's being chased by Saul all over the hills of Judea, all throughout the desert and the wilderness by the Dead Sea. He's done nothing wrong. He's done everything right. He's been faithful to God. He's been keeping the sheep in the wilderness. The prophet Samuel came and anointed him with oil and said he would be the next king of Israel. But Saul was a jealous man. And Saul had his eye on David because God was with him. And you're going to find that in Daniel's life and in the life of every person who wholeheartedly follows the Lord. They're often watched by those with a jealous eye. It all started when David slew Goliath. And he became the hero in the land instead of the general Saul. And if that wasn't enough, Saul's son Jonathan loved David like his own soul, and his heart was knit together with him. And he gave him his sword and his shield and his clothing. And if that wasn't enough, David became a mighty warrior and slew the Philistines and delivered Israel many times from the hands of the Philistines. So much so that a song, one of the top 40 songs, hit the top of the charts, was going around Israel. It went something like this. Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. And when that song was being sung in the streets by the women who were dancing, Saul heard that song, and he got angry. He was jealous. He saw that God was with him. And so David says, it's not because of anything that I've done, not for my transgression, nor for my sin. In fact, it was as soon as David was anointed by the prophet that all of these troubles happened to him. You see, life is not fair. There is not always an immediate cause and effect for sin and wrongdoing. Now, we wish it was, and sometimes we think it should be that way. We think, if I do good, then good should come to me immediately, and if I do evil, that I should have a consequence. And so we're always wondering, when some evil befalls us, have I done something wrong? Is this a punishment of God upon my life? And then we wonder when we see the wicked prospering. We think, God, why don't you immediately pounce on them? Deal with them in your anger. Like David prayed, Lord, break their teeth in their mouth. There ought to be an immediate cause and effect for evil.